Last night's episode of The Ultimate Fighter, Team Sarah versus Team Hughes, was probably, in my opinion, one of the best thus far. Jared Rollins going up against George Sideropoulos of Australia in a great fight, and the drama leading up to the fight was exceptional. It's great to have J-Rock on the line with us right now. And first off, I know you lost your fight. I know it must have been disappointing, but congratulations on making it onto the show and for getting that far.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So, you know, there was actually talk during the show that this was a very young cast. You were actually one of the veterans within the group, had 10 pro fights leading into coming onto the show. Did you feel as though you were one of the better guys? And that said, did you think you would actually do a lot better than you ended up doing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I was expected to do a lot better from, you know, my camp back home. My coach, or my teammate, was on last season. Emerson was on last season. So I was kind of sent to redeem us, you know, to make things happen. And, you know, things can't always happen the way you want them. But, yeah, you know, you always expect to do better. If you don't get in there, you know. I mean, that'd be stupid to get, you know what I'm saying, to take a fight and, yeah, knowing you're going to lose or expecting to lose, because you probably will lose. So, yeah, I expected to do a lot better.
A lot of MMA fans out there had probably recognized your name from the King of the Cage. Now you got onto the Ultimate Fighter. Can you tell us how you came about being one of the 16 fighters on this season of the Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, Emerson from season 5 was, he was on season 5. And I was actually starting to fight in Japan. And I just gotten back from a fight, and Emerson told me, "Hey man, I put you in." They asked me for a referral for if I could refer anyone, and I gave them your name, and I was kind of shocked. So I was like, "All right, whatever." You know, I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't think it was as big a deal as it turned out to be. And then I went to the tryouts in Vegas, and that's when I realized it was kind of a big deal, because Dana White was there and the Spike execs were there. So I was like, okay. I was like, all right. It is what it is, though, you know. And I went through the phases. And after each phase, there's a cut. So it was a grappling phase, the first phase, and then they cut guys. And then there was a sparring phase, and then they cut guys. And then there was a verbal interview. And then after the interview, they'd tell you what they thought, and then they interviewed you. They were interviewing you all day. They had cameras going around to see, you know, how you were, how you reacted. I'm assuming that's what it was, because they were interviewing people on camera, so it was kind of cool. And so I waited a couple weeks and got a call back, and they brought me back out to Vegas, and, you know, that's when they told me about, after that, if I would either be an alternate or a guy on the show, and I got picked to be on the show, so, you know, voila, there it was.
And I hope you're not sick of answering these questions so far. I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people about your experience on the show, but
yeah.
I gotta know, because to me, when I look at what you guys have to put up through in that house with no contact outside, no phones, no television, it seems like it would drive you insane to the point where it might even actually affect your training and your mindset going into the fight. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it does. And that's why a lot of people hit me up about Scarola, you know, saying, yeah, you know, the guy's a pussy and this and that. But it's like, I mean, to be honest, Scarola, from what I gathered, I mean, he wasn't really a fighter. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt under Sarah. You know, he's a good black belt. And, I mean, people don't know what you're going through there in the house. They don't know the situations you're under. They don't know the people you're away from, the loved ones you can't talk to. It's only 6 weeks. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's not really that long. It's, you know, it's a wink of an eye in a lifetime. But I mean, yeah, it's not comfortable, because no matter what the situation, how you're feeling back home, you know, if you're mad at your trainer, or if you don't feel like going and training that day, you cannot go, you don't have to go. You can stay at home and watch TV, or, you know, me, I'm a professional, so that's all I do. So if I don't want to go one day, I don't. When I train, I'll train, you know, twice a day, and when it comes to a point where I don't feel like going, or, you know, something goes down, you know, I just will chill. You know, I'll rest that day. Then I go back again. But here in the house, man, you gotta go every day, you know, and the guy you're fighting is there. The guy you may fight is there, you know, and so you're wondering, you know, if they're going to pick you next week or if coach is going to pick you to fight. You don't know, you know, it's a 24-hour weight cut. You know, you got to cut weight within 24 hours and be on weight. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes through your head, you know, and if you really let it get to you, it can.
Yeah, you actually mentioned probably one of the funniest scenes in the show thus far, where George is eating breakfast and you're sitting right next to him, and it's an absolute trip, because I'm sure you've never experienced this before, where you're, you know, just chilling in the morning before with the guy you're about to pummel just a couple of hours later. And all that said, are you happy with the experience? Do you?
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of guys who kind of say they wish they didn't do it, but you think otherwise?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great experience. I think every fight experience after this will seem easy, because, and I actually did that in hindsight. I did that for the fans, you know, for the people out there to understand, you know, I said it out loud. That's what I was thinking, but I actually put my thoughts out on camera to say, hey, look, dude, I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's not normal for you to wake up in the morning and hit the kitchen and the guy you're fighting is in there making breakfast and you sit at the table and he's right there. So I sat down right next to him and was like, look at this. You know what I mean? It's a different experience, you know? It's like no other fighter that hasn't been on the show has ever or will ever experience that, unless you're fighting your brother or something, or your mother or something, you know what I mean?
And looking back on the experience now, leading up to the fight, there seemed to have been some tension between you and your coach, Matt Hughes. Obviously, he was disappointed with the way the team was performing in the fights, not listening to him, whatever. Do you wish that you were on Matt Serra's team, or are you happy with the fact that you were chosen by Hughes?
I didn't want to be on Serra's team. As far as, I didn't care who I got picked by. I knew if I was on Hughes' team, we were going to work hard and, you know, we were going to learn a lot of, you know, different wrestling techniques and stuff. And I knew if I was on Sarah's team, me being a jiu-jitsu guy, I was going to learn a lot of jiu-jitsu. You know, I was going to learn, you know, I would have loved to have grappled with Matt Serra. You know what I'm saying? He's a great black belt. But, you play, like I've been saying all day, man, you play the card that you were dealt. When you're playing cards and you get the hand you got is the hand you got to play. And that's just how it is, you know? So the way it turned out was the way it went, you know? But, yeah, I mean, there was good and bad. There was positives and negatives about being on either side, you know?
So, to me, looking at the show, you know, one guy loses, two guys lose, I could say, all right, you know, they're not listening to the coach. But after five or six in a row start to lose, you kind of have to point your finger at the coach. I mean, he is ultimately the guy to blame. As the fighter, and after the fight, I'm sure you saw the episode where Matt was saying that he kept saying, you know, you didn't seem like you want to be there. And he said that the prior episode, and you keep saying that. Is it kind of annoying to hear your coach?
Oh,
kind of call
yeah.
You?
Yeah, that was annoying. That was real annoying to hear him say that, you know. How could you tell someone they didn't want to be in there? If they didn't want to be in there, they wouldn't have got in there. You know, they would have went home like Joey did. Joey, to be honest, I mean, he just had the balls to say, hey, dude, I don't want to be here. I'm out, you know, whereas I didn't want to be out. But there were guys, trust me, that wanted to leave that were scared to step up and leave, you know. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, for him to say that that was garbage, you know, that was garbage.
Have you seen him since you heard him say those comments?
No, I haven't. Dorian saw him. Dorian told me he saw him in Ohio for the UFC. And Dorian was like, hey, man, this is real world now. You know, you ain't my coach anymore. So, you know, say something, you know. And as he says, I'm going to Kirk out. I'm going to lose it. he's like, you know, I love you, but, you know, he's like, hey, dude, I'm not under your regime anymore.
If you would see him, what would you say to him? Or are you not interested at all at this point?
I'd say what's up to Matt, to Hughes. I would.
So
no feelings
were hurt by his comments?
He was going through it just like me, you know? So I think the only thing that was at fault with him is he hasn't been in the house like Sarah had been. Sarah had been in the house, so Sarah knew how to train his guys to where they didn't get burnt out. He knew how to kind of like tailor things to where it would, you know, make it comfortable for their guys emotionally. Whereas he's a champion and he's been in strenuous positions, but he hasn't been in a position like that. And he was complaining about being away from his wife and his family. But I mean, shit, at least he can make a call. It would have been a lot easier if we could have called our girlfriends and moms and dads and stuff, you know what I mean, and watch TV. That would have been easy. That's a walk in the park, you know, but when you're away, when it's blackout for six and a half weeks, it's different. It's a different story, you know? And if he got put under that position while he was coaching, he might have left because he almost left, you know, after one of the fights, you know? So it's like, hey, dude, walk a mile in our shoes and then, you know, see how it is, you know?
We're talking with J-Rock from The Ultimate Fighter 6 here on JerryPark.com. And I need to ask you, because there's clearly no excuses for your loss with George. I mean, you actually said that you wanted to fight him when they announced the fight. Why did you want to fight George, who was clearly one of the best guys on Team Sarah?
Well, because that's who they chose. But I had a feeling I was going to have to fight him leading up to it, you know. So, you know, who else was going to fight him? Nobody wanted to fight him. Nobody else wanted to fight him, you know. I'm sure there's a couple guys on the team that would have fought him, but I'm just saying, you know, Matt picked him because training with me, Matt saw how I trained. Matt knew I was good. And Matt's all like, hey, man, let's just go ahead and get this guy. Let's X this guy out and get on with it and just take the whole thing in the second and third round, you know. So, yeah, because if we'd X him out, there would have been only a few guys left. Arroyo's good, too. You know, he was good. You know, he was probably one of their other better guys. But, yeah, I mean, they definitely, that's how they wanted it. That's how he wanted it set. And, I mean, Matt's a guy that goes for it. He's gonna go all in, you know. That's his personality. And that's his style. And that's how he picked it. So, yeah, I mean, Matt told me that he was going to call it out. Jared wants to fight George because he didn't want George to feel like, hey, they didn't pick me and they had to fight me. He wanted it to seem like, hey, you know, that's how we want the matchup. So that's how it went down.
Now let's talk about the fight itself. You're a purple belt, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
I'm a brown belt.
Oh, brown belt, excuse me. I was surprised that you didn't try to take the fight to the ground. It seemed as though that was a place where you were more comfortable than George. Was the game plan to try to stand with him, a guy with such a long reach?
Well, George is a black belt, too, so that's what we were expecting it to be, a grappling match. But, you gotta realize, too, I mean, when you go for takedowns, you're putting yourself out there as well, you know? So, I mean, just because you go for a takedown, you can't take it to the ground because you want it to go to the ground, you know. He may have shot on me, you know. So, you know, I was assuming he would have wanted it to go to the ground as well, being on a jiu-jitsu-based team with Matt Serra, you know. But after a while, I should have looked at it to where, hey, man, this guy's scoring from the top standing up. Why does he want to go to the ground? When he tried to take, and he tried to take me down.
Right.
And when he tried to take me down, I saw the opening, and instead of falling out when he had the single leg and punching him, I went for the Kimura, and I tried to elicit a scramble. I tried to start a scramble because I figured off of my attack, he would counter, and then I could counter. You know, when you're a more advanced jiu-jitsu practitioner, doesn't go for the first move as his ultimate attack to finish. You attack to lead to another attack, to a counter, to counter his counter, and then eventually get to where you want to go. So I set that up. It's a setup to get him to counter, and then I thought off his counter, I could counter to go to something else, you know. But obviously he didn't want to because he was scoring from the top. He was doing fine standing up, so why fix it if it's not broken?
It seems as though now the two most impressive fighters thus far, you'd have to say, are George and Mac. Between mm-hmm. the two, who do you think would come out?
Mac.
Is Mac just on a whole other level than everyone else in the house?
Mac's got 30 fights, man. I don't care what you say. Experience, in the end, is I mean, you tell me two guys are fighting. One guy's got 50 fights and the other guy's got 5 fights, but the guy with 5 fights is a prodigy. Yeah, there's a chance he could win, but man, that guy with 50 fights he's been in so many different positions. He's been there a million times, you know? He's been there a million times, and it makes a big difference with when you don't have that adrenaline pumping through your veins and you're not, you know, you think a lot clearer in there, you know? It's like shooting a target. If you've never been shooting, it's like the difference between shooting a target and having someone shoot back at you, you know? Or punching a bag and having someone punch at you, you know? It's different.
After the fight, you were clearly very broken up over the loss. I mean, it makes total sense. And Dana White even came up to you and gave you some props and said you had nothing to be ashamed of. Off camera, did Dana say anything to you about your potential future within the UFC?
I was glad that, you know, he came out because obviously he didn't have to come out there. He has bigger fish to fry. I mean, the guy was coming in off of some meetings and doing other things for the UFC, so... yeah, I was pretty glad that he came out. It was encouraging for sure. But yeah, no, off camera, no. I mean, that what was there was pretty much what he said.
Have they told you that you'll be fighting on the finale?
Yeah, I will.
Do you know against who yet?
I don't think I can talk about that.
Oh, okay. All right. We don't want to get you in trouble or anything. So at this point, once the show is done, can you go back to King of the Cage, or do you have some sort of contract?
I wasn't fighting for King of the Cage. I was fighting for Cage Force in Japan. So I wasn't. King of the Cage is just, I don't know why they keep saying that. Yeah, he's a King of the Cage veteran. I wasn't contracted with King of the Cage. I fought for them, but, you know, in 2005, I fought all over the country for just random events, random production. So, you know, no, I definitely would not go back to King of the Cage.
All right, well, clearly someone's been giving me the wrong information about your belt and where you're fighting, so I apologize for that.
No, don't worry. It's all good.
My final question before I let you go, I know you have 600 more interviews to do. We'll probably be asked the same questions many, many times.
It's cool. I'm getting better and better at it, man.
If there was one thing that you could tell, you know, the new season of the Ultimate Fighter castmates or cast members, what would you tell them about trying to deal with living in that house and then obviously focusing on the fight, because it can obviously play a huge mental game within your mind? What would you try to tell them in terms of dealing with that?
Don't focus on the fight. Don't focus on the fact that you can't call home. Don't focus on the fact that you don't have TV. Just you are where you are, and that's it. And you can't go home, and you can't call home. So don't think about it, and don't think about who you're going to fight. Don't worry about who you're going to fight. You fight who you fight, and that's it. Just be ready to fight anybody that's in that house, any of the other 15 guys. So, I mean, and don't fight yourself, you know, and don't think about it, you know, just take it for what it's worth, man, and take it as a good experience.
Well, definitely sounds like easy advice, but I'm sure once someone would be in your shoes, it's a lot harder to execute. J-Rock, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out today to talk with us here at Jarry Park, and good luck. I hope we see you in the UFC Octagon. I'm sure we'll see you at the finale and then beyond as well. Thanks a lot.
Take care, man.
All right.